We'll just go chronological order for the men.
Yep.
Yeah, it should be recording.
Yep. I'll quickly mention the there's one midweek from NPL men. That one was NPL women, the 3-0, and the 4-1 was QPL 1 men. I've got all the results set. Yep. Sit there. I didn't have what round they're from.
All right, cool. No, it doesn't matter.
We've got it. So we'll start off with the midweek Gold Coast Rochdale thing. Just literally, we'll talk about it for like 30 seconds and we'll go through the weekend.
Yep.
All right. I did watch the highlights. So.
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1. And welcome to the NPL Sunday show here on the Brisbane Football Review. It's got an, as usual with you every Sunday night. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. A bit wet and sort of miserable this weekend, but we got some football in, which is always good.
Wasn't too bad on Saturday night, not so good Sunday. Of course, a bit of a washout, so plenty of games were postponed. We'll get to that later on, but a pretty good week of football regardless.
It was, and we are starting to see some teams sort of stake their claim as far as where they are in the pecking order things. Other teams sort of, they're being sort of been shown for their sort of shortcomings. But all in all, we're starting to get into the at least the business end of the season as far as getting through and seeing where some of these teams are at and who are pretenders and who are contenders.
And we'll get Adam's thought on that later on in the show. There are a couple of midweek games we'll get to throughout the show. 3 in the league and 3 in the pro series. We'll start with the midweek catch-up game in the NPL men's competition. A 2-2 draw down on the Gold Coast between Gold Coast United and Rochdale Rovers. Kai Tapaldo and Nick Panetta on the score sheet for Gold Coast United. Cooper McCormick and Pat Theodore equalising for Rochdale Rovers. Gold Coast led in this game twice, Adam, and got pegged back twice. And a pretty good point on the road for Rochdale Rovers, given the situation they find themselves in. And for Gold Coast, it's one where it might have been an opportunity to let slip.
Well, Rochdale, at that time, that was a very, very vital win. It was a bit of momentum. Draw. Back against a draw, I should say. It probably felt like a win for them to get something out of that, I should say. But it was a step in the right direction for them. If we look into the future, when we get into it, maybe not so. But on the other hand, for Gold Coast United, probably in a very, very tight logjam, chasing for the finals places, probably 2 points dropped for them.
Absolutely. And we'll get to Rochdale and Gold Coast weekend games in just a moment. It was that game did come from round 6 of the NPL men's competition. There's still 2 games to be played in that round. They will be played this week. Redlands will host Moreton City. Peninsula Power will host Olympic. That's 2 catch-up games to complete. Round 6 to be played this week coming, weather permitting, given the conditions at the moment. We'll have to wait and see. But we'll move on now to round 8 of the NPL men's competition, played this weekend. A full round of fixtures were played. We'll start on Friday night, also down on the Gold Coast at the Croatian Sports Centre, this time between Gold Coast Knights and Brisbane City. A 3-1 win for Gold Coast Knights. Goals from Oscar Dillon, Tyson Martin and Godfrey DeBelli cancelling out a Kai Bolton penalty. And Brisbane City have done pretty well down there in the past, down there at Croatian Sports Centre, but not to be on this occasion. A very professional win for Gold Coast Knights, Adam.
I think it's the mark of the treble winners. This is a game that they sort of had in control. An unfortunate penalty cancelled out Oscar Dillon's opener, but Tyson Martin getting a goal just for half time. That's probably what sort of gave Gold Coast Knights momentum. Godfrey DeValle getting the second half goal to make the points safe for Knights, and they continue their march at the top of the league. Brisbane City, another loss for them. They need, it's sort of a bit of an ordinary run for them at the moment, and I think that they need to start sort of getting some points. I think that they have run into a lot of the top teams, but being a team that they would consider themselves one of the top teams, they need to start getting some results.
Absolutely. And Gold Coast Knights look very strong on set pieces, and Godfrey DeBelli is also very good in transition for them. So things we have seen in the past, Gold Coast Knights' strengths of their campaign last year are still very much true this year, and they're framing up very, very nicely for the grand final replay this weekend, which I know Adam is very much looking forward to, but they're looking very strong once again, Gold Coast. I've not spoken too much about them on the show this year, almost flying under the radar as they continue doing what they've been doing, but they look like they're every bit as strong as they have been.
Oh, absolutely. Just look at their roster from top to bottom. That they've pretty much so far unscathed. And while that squad remains intact, there's just game winners all across the park for them. And the fact that they can actually rotate players and not really lose too much. As we've said a number of times, this is a squad that not only could handle the league, but also, you know, multiple competitions, you know, a pro series if they're still, sort of, you know, still keen to pick up a trophy in that. And also Queensland Cup, such Australia Cup. You would think that if they keep the injuries to a minimum, that they could handle all sort of, you know, challenges. And that's, I think that's where I expect them to go. If they don't, you know, fall on a banana peel in Queensland, I expect them to go pretty well in the national level if they get there.
We'll see how they go in the cup. There are cup fixtures coming up, which we'll talk about later on in the show. But first, we'll go through the Saturday fixtures in NPL men's competition, starting down at the Cleveland Showgrounds between Lions SC and Redlands United. A 4-2 win for the visiting Lions SC. Two goals for Alex Fechner, one Andy Pangilian, one for Jackson Hart Phillips. Late goals for Mason Cross and Reece Barth made the scoreboard a bit more respectable for the home side, but Lions looked very, very good in this game. And that combination that we saw 2 years ago between Alex Fechner and Andy Pangilian, that's really coming back to the fore now, and Lions look very good going forward.
They are looking like the Lions of old of two seasons ago. Alex Fechner in his when he had a great season, where he won our player of the player season, where I believe he also won a lot of the Football Queensland awards as well. He was phenomenal that season, and that combination with Andy Pangilian, they just look like at the moment that it's finally clicking for 14 goals in three games now. And this game was over inside 55 minutes. They're over the hill and far away. To their credit, Redlands didn't drop the bundle. They got a couple of late goals. And that might actually be the only thing that disappointed Darren Syme is the fact that they did sort of concede two late goals against Redlands. But overall, going forward, you can't complain about the way Lions are going. They're playing some beautiful football at the moment.
They did 40-plus goals between Alex Fechner and Andy Pangilian 2 years ago. They're not necessarily heading towards that this year, but that combination is very, very dangerous, and things are looking very good for Lions SC. We'll move on now, not far up the road, to Carmichael Park, where Moreton City Excelsior made the trip to play Wynnum Wolves, and a 4-0 win for the visiting Moreton City Excelsior. Two goals for Marquez Walters, one for Zach Kierpal, and one for Emeryn Donnelly-Fagan. It was 2-0 at the break, and I remember messaging you at the time and said, are you about to become Wynnum's latest second-half victim? No, 4-0 win for Moreton City. In truth, watching this game, it never looked likely that Wynnum were going to get back into this one. Those second-half heroics were not to be called on this time.
Yeah, Moreton City, they took advantage of a very, very fast start, or Wynnum Wolves' sort of slow start. Whereas the last few weeks, where Wynnum's success came, you know, basically absorbing pressure early, they were down 2-0 after 10 minutes. Zach Kierpal with a nice strike, and then Kez Walters then coming up with a nice a pretty straightforward tap in. 2-0 after 10 minutes. 3-0 just for half time, I do believe. Second half. Sorry, I just think something else there. So the 3-0 after 65 minutes, and then Emeryn Donnelly-Fagan with the late goal, 4-0. They never really gave Wolves a chance in very, very wet conditions. This was a very, very good win and a confidence booster after shipping four against Lions the previous week. So they look like they've bounced back with authority coming into what is a big game next Saturday night at Walter Park against the defending champs and their conquerors in the grand final, Gold Coast Knights.
Well, I'm sure that they've had marked on the wall for quite a while over there at Walter Park. And that attacking combination between Marquez Walters and Zach Kierpal, something that we've spoken about a lot on this show and also off air between the two of us, how that combination is going to grow throughout the course of the season. You're really starting to see signs now that those two do play well together, and it's looking like a very, very dangerous tag team up top for Moreton City.
It is, and we always said that the the potential of those two players in isolation, they're two of the best strikers in the league. They put them together and they start putting the combinations together. They're going to be absolutely lethal. We saw signs of it on Saturday night, and long it may continue if you're a Morton City supporter.
Which you, of course, are. We'll move on to the final game of the round played on Saturday. Up at AJ Kelly Park between Sunshine Coast Wanderers and Peninsula Power. And a win for the visiting Sunshine Coast Wanderers here. Adam, goals from Max Brown and Kirito Higuchi cancelled a goal from Ken Akamatsu. This is a really good win for Sunshine Coast. As we said on the show last week, they haven't been playing badly. And it looked like a result wasn't too far away. And they managed to get a crucial 3 points away to Peninsula Power, who the defending might not have been the best on this occasion, but a really good win for Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, Sunshine Coast Wanderers, they seem to trouble Peninsula Power. I know a couple of times in a pro series game, I know that they knocked off Power at AJ Kelly Park, but this is they needed this win to kickstart their season. Max Brown on the score sheet early, and then a fortuitous goal that was put away very, very nicely by Kirito Higuchi inside 29 minutes. And then after that, they pretty much held on for the win, which I think also defensively would be very, very good, would be very, very positive for Nick Green's side. But a first win on the season for them, and it's our only ways up for Sunshine Coast Wanderers. Peninsula Power, at least they got a goal in open play, which is probably a start, but that's probably about the only positives out of this. It's probably a game they could ill afford to have dropped, but we know how good Power is. This just seems like a bit of an off night against a team that just really wanted it more.
Yeah, an off night for Peninsula Power. And as you said, a first win of the year for the Sunshine Coast Wanderers. And it's two wins in a row at AJ Kelly Park for Sunshine Coast. They won in round one last year in the league, right. And then they had a draw in the process, which is what you were referencing as well. So three straight games without defeat at AJ Kelly Park, a happy hunting ground perhaps for Sunshine Coast Wanderers, although they might want to get Fortress Ballinger back up and running to move a bit further up the table. We'll move on to the games played on Sunday. Now we'll start with the game which we watched on our social media platforms, Adam, between Olympic FC and Gold Coast United. A nil-all draw on the field in the rain out there at Goodwin Park. Not a lot of goal mouth action, but plenty of crunching tackles in this one.
Yeah, a lot of crunching tackles, miraculous saves. Matt Lugo's saving on about the hour mark. I still don't know how he did that. That was just incredible. And perhaps a contentious penalty with about 15 minutes to go on Blake Thompson on Cyrus Demme, I'll tell you what, that's probably could have and should have been given, but overall, that a point each. But both teams probably play as probably fair in the end, that neither team sort of really sort of had too many overall advantages. I know Olympic probably just shade it as far as possession goes and sort of the weight of chances, but both teams a point each. Gold Coast United, again, it's two draws over the weekend.
Yep, two draws in the week for Gold Coast United. This one on the road, probably a handy point away given the form line of Olympic coming into it. I think there were three straight wins coming into that for Olympic, so not a bad result for Gold Coast United. The final game of the round was across town at Underwood Park between Rochdale Rovers and the Brisbane Roar Academy, and a 5-1 win for the visiting Brisbane Roar Academy. A hat-trick for Ivan Ozzie, Riley Gill and Zach Flower also on the score sheet. A free kick from Andy Thompson getting Rochdale Rovers on the score sheet. And this was, we'll focus on the Roar here firstly. This was very, very impressive from the young Roar, including young Ivan Ozzie, who gets on the score sheet here and makes a real claim for himself potentially to become the leading striker on this team, given that some of the players they've got in that side are going to go away now with the A-League squad and the off-season.
It looks like obviously Rowan Brownlee got onto the pitch down in Melbourne last night, and I don't think we'll see him again play for the Roar Academy NPL. We all know what the club thinks, and I think just the general what we think of his potential. So he might be done as far as this level goes. But I'll tell you what, Ivan Ozzie is a very, very suitable replacement. A hat trick today, and The first goal especially, I thought it was a really good goal. Another player to point out is that has actually copped a bit of stick at a high level. Ryan Lifflin, I thought, had an excellent game. I'm not a fan of him at left back, but he did show what he could do. The first goal, a nice long ball that found Ivan Ozzie, but still, with that, Ozzie had to do a bit of work just to score it, and he did very, very well to get around a couple of defenders, and a hat trick for him, and also as well, Riley Gill with a nice header to make it 4-0 or 4-1. Can't remember what the score was at that point.
4-1 at that point.
Well, yes, because it was a reply straight after Andy Thompson's free kick, and not much we could say, but we don't know about Andy Thompson, the king of free kicks. First time at Lions and at Rochdale, and then a late, very, very late goal for Zach Fowler, who beat a charging Connor Damsma off the line, and it was actually a very, very well-timed finish, and a nice goal for Zach Fell, one of the young players coming up through the ranks, who's sort of been in the 23 side. I think he's probably going to get his chance at the senior NPL side of the coming weeks, and if he can score goals like that, I think he'll be just fine. But that's a very, very good win for Roar Academy. Easily they're probably their most comprehensive performance this season. Totally, I don't think this day they did beat Lions a couple of weeks ago, but that was more of took the opportunity. This was, they were in complete control all game, and very well done to the young Raw.
Yeah, I'd say that winning at Lions probably their best win of the season. This was probably their most polished performance of the season. A very, very good performance from the young Raw, and as you said, some of the young players coming through from the 23s. Now we'll start to see more of those players in the next few weeks as the players who've been playing in the NPL from the A-League squad go off on their off-season break. We'll see who comes back in at some point in the future. But for Rochdale, this was a very, very average performance, wasn't it? Particularly at the back, where it just seemed like they were all at sea for the entire 90 minutes.
It was one step forward after their fighting performance against Gold Coast United midweek, and I think it was a couple of steps back for them. The young Raw, they do play a very, very technically gifted side, but they were second best in most categories all game. And this one's probably a disappointing one, and probably shows probably where they're at the moment, which we had some hopes for them that, you know, the squad they assembled mostly of stand where they probably could have fallen mid table, but at the moment they probably don't look in very, very good shape. And I'm not sure where to from Rochdale at the moment, other than sort of get back to the paddock and sort of, you know, and regroup. But this was a comprehensive win by the young Raw today.
I can tell you where next. It's off to Ballinger Park next weekend to play Sunshine Coast One. It's a very important fixture there for Rochdale Rose. Look at the table now after 8 rounds of the NPL men's season. Gold Coast Knights remain top of the table. They're on 21 points. 3 points clear of Lions SC on 18, who have a game in hand. It's Wynnum Wolves on 16. Moreton City Excelsior on 13. That's the top four as things stand. In fifth, Gold Coast United on 11. And Peninsula Power 10. Brisbane Roar Academy and Brisbane City both on 9. Olympic on 8. Sunshine Coast Wanderers with their win, they're up to 4 points. Redlands 3, Rochdale Rovers 2. Those bottom two teams yet to get in the winner's circle for season 2024. Adam, we'll move on now to the NPL Women's competition. And there was one midweek catch-up game played up in AJ Kelly Park in Redcliffe between Peninsula Power and Eastern Suburbs. A 3-0 win for the visiting Eastern Suburbs. 2 goals for Maylin Lewis and 1 for Sophie Pearson gave East the win. Adam, you were up at AJ Kelly Park in attendance this one. You want to talk us through how this one played out? Because on the surface, it looked like a pretty comfortable win for the visitors.
Yeah, it was. And East, a very, very comprehensive win. They showed their quality, and Like I say, unlikely source, but a source of a player that's really sort of rising. I think Maiden Lewis looks like she's going to be a very, very good player. This is probably a second season. She was a bench player predominantly last season. Got sparing minutes this season. She looks every bit of a first-team player. And, yeah, two very, very good goals. A Sophie Person, got the other goal, pretty simplistic goal. She's just loitering in the box, the predatory striker that she is, and scored. But look, there were signs there. I will say for Peninsular Power that despite the scoreline, you can see signs of, I guess, you know, you could call it green shoots as far as their sort of rebuild at the moment. It's starting to get a bit of stability in the squad. Make no mistake, East are a very, very good side there. They are one of the contenders. They are the defending champions. And they're starting to go really put it together after a couple of sort of interesting performances, we'll call it, sort of in previous weeks. But they look very, very good. But Peninsular Power on the standings at the moment, I think that they are a long way off, and it's probably going to leave their run a bit too late. But certainly performance-wise, they are starting to at least show a few things as far as their improvement as a squad.
And hopefully for their sake, they can bring in a couple of players in the upcoming window to strengthen their cause. But that matchup was from round 8 of the NPL Women's competition. The 3-0 win for Eastern Suburbs over Peninsular Power. There's still one game to be caught up from round 8 between Olympic FC and the QAS. That is still to be confirmed when that will take place. We'll move on to the games which were played this week in round 10 of the NPL Women's competition. Adam, and we'll continue on with East actually, because they were the first game up on Saturday afternoon. A 5-1 win over Olympic FC out there at the Nudgee Recreation Reserve. A hat-trick for Kyla Hansen, a goal from Lauren Askin, and Taylor Roncato on the score sheet later on there for East. Eva Heron got a goal back for Olympic here, but this was one-way traffic and a very good win for East, wrapping up a very good week for East, who moved back into the top four going into this round after that win midweek.
Yeah, 72 hours later, they come out and their other young star in Kyla Hansen getting a hat-trick as well. We know how good she was last season for Kapalabar and their doomed NPL run. She's probably the one shining light. And she continues on with the champs, her first hat-trick for East. And, they're well too good. Olympic, again, very young side. But they're just completely overrun by East in this regard. I think they're in two divisions almost separately at the moment.
They are at this stage. We'll see if Olympic can improve over the next coming weeks. Over at Terrible Park, Mitchelton and Peninsular Power paid out a 4-4 draw in the rain there. For Mitchelton, an own goal, a goal for Kelly Purifoy, Lauren Bonavita, and Rachel Dudley for Mitchelton there. For Peninsular Power, a brace for Anna Hirakawa, one for Kiara Ryshelski, and one for Sophia Cuba. And Mitchelton were 3-0 up in this game, Adam, at about the hour mark, and then it completely exploded after that.
It was a very, very crazy 15 minutes after half time, started by Kelly Purifoy scoring after 15 seconds in the second half. Very, very well taken goals. Well, Gabe,
if she did that in the first half, it would be probably the quickest goal we've ever seen in the NPL competition, but unfortunately, that doesn't count.
Yeah, and she gave Jaden Chisholm no chance of stopping that. It was almost a Hail Mary shot. Lauren Bonavita from the spot made it 3-0, and you thought, oh, this is game over. But then Peninsular Power, inside 12 minutes, racked up four goals. Anna Hirakawa leading the charge back. A tap-in for Kiara Wachowski, who's done a excellent job as standing captain this season, and she, you can tell that she's really grown that role. And then Anna Hirakawa actually got the go ahead goal, and Sophia Cuba from the penalty spot, a very, very well taken penalty that made it 4-3 before Rachel Dudley equalized with 10 minutes to go in driving rain. A good performance for both teams considering the conditions. It was a very, very wet night at Terrible Park. And look, it just is another just another chapter as far as raining goals between these two clubs. That is 16 goals in two games between these two clubs this season so far, and they've still got one to go.
And they've played each other in plenty of big games down the years as well, those two teams. So they certainly are very familiar with one another. That is probably the most high-scoring matchup they've played. However, a 4-4 draw in the rain out there at Turalba Park. The final game that was actually played this weekend in the NPL Women's competition was probably the most highly anticipated, which was the second Brisbane Classico of the season between Brisbane City and Lions FC out there at Imperial Corp Stadium. And the league-leading Brisbane City probably went into the game as favourites, but it was Lions FC came out on top in this one by 2-1. Goals from Megan McElligott and Tui Duggan got Lions 2-0 in front for a late goal from Steph Hallis gave City some hope here, Adam. But that's a very, very impressive win for that for a young Lions side. And a result like that could be the thing that gives them the confidence they can contend with the best teams in this competition. It could be a very, very crucial 3 points we look back on at the end of the season.
A huge win for Lions, and this probably does sort of dispel a myths about their demise as a power in this league. This was a very, very good win, and led from the front by Meg McElligott, a beautiful free kick. We know what she is capable of in past seasons. A player that she has played at the A-League women's level. But she is in great form. 4 goals in 2 games now, including that free kick. Tui Duggan, she had a lot to do, even though there was probably gifted a chance after a bit of a mix-up at the back between Georgie Worth coming charging out and probably didn't tell Hallie Khan what was going on. But Tui Duggan still had to find the ball in the back of the net and did splendidly. But then before young Steph Hallis was able to get one back. And from there as well, City had their chances. On occasion, I know Georgia Thompson did hit the crossbar at one point in trying to equal the contest, and also as well, I think Steph Latham had a couple of chances. She had an unusually quiet night. I think that would have been the importance of, I think the Lions' defence would have really sort of honed in and tried to sort of take her out of the game. And this was a very, very good win for Lions. I think they are starting to find their feet again as far as a side after some early season struggles. And when I want to say early season struggles by their standards. I think the struggles that they've had, I think most of the teams in this competition would only dream about, but we know this is a program that have the highest of standards, and but I think that they might be back.
Yeah, there have been plenty of teams in this competition who would be absolutely ecstatic if their rebuild or their struggles looked like the way that, if their start to the year looked like what it has Lions has been, they would be ecstatic with that. So you're right, it is different tiers the way people look at it, but Lions look like they are absolutely well and truly back in the race for not just finals, but potentially the race for a top two spot at bare minimum. And as for Brisbane City, it's a case where, look, teams have bad days at the office. As you said, maybe they missed a couple of chances, a couple of players didn't quite have their best game. It's a long season. It happens. It's very, very difficult to go unbeaten in any competition. It's been a long time since they've lost a game in the league. It happens, yeah. Right? It's not time to panic about Brisbane City.
Oh, absolutely not. You wouldn't say a loss would be ever a good thing, but this might be a reminder that they're not invincible. They've got a massive game against East next week. That will be another test for them as well. But I also expect... I expect them to bounce back. They were missing some experience in Talitha Kramer and Billy Murphy at the back as well. I don't know if that made a difference last night. You never really want to say that experience is not worth it, but I think that City, I wouldn't panic too much. They're going to be in there, and it may just reduce their lead slightly at the top, but they're still the best team in the league at the moment.
They're still top of the table, which we'll go through in just a moment. I will say, however, there are two games which were postponed from round 10, of the NPL Women's competition. The first of those will be replayed on Tuesday night down on the Gold Coast, being Gold Coast United and South Shore. Again, that's weather dependent. It's currently scheduled for Tuesday night at 8 o'clock down there on the Gold Coast. The other game between Sunshine Coast Wanderers and QAS, that's to be confirmed when that one will be played. As for the table, as I said, Brisbane City sit top of the table. They are on 25 points. They are 4 points clear of Gold Coast United, who have a game in hand. They're on 21. Eastern Suburbs, after their big week, they are up to 20 points in third. Lions in fourth on 19. Then it is South United on 15, Mitchells on 14, Sunshine Coast 8, Olympic 6, Peninsula Power 5, QAS 3. That's standings after week 10 in the NPL Women's competition. We'll move on now to the FQPL wrap here. Adam, one game played midweek between Brisbane Strikers and Moreton City Excelsior. A 4-1 win for the Brisbane Strikers in that game. Braces for both Matt Thurtell and Sam Cronin on the score sheet there for the Brisbane Strikers. As for this weekend's round 8 fixtures, the result, we'll go through the results and then we might talk about a couple of these games because it's some very interesting results to go through. But Caboolture FC 2, Capella Bar 1. Eastern Suburbs 2, Broadbeach United 1. Ipswich FC 4, Mitchelton FC 2. Brisbane Strikers 4, Logan Lightning 1. Moreton City Excelsior 3, Southside Eagles 1. And St. George Willawong 1, Southwest Queensland Thunder 0. And we might start with that game there, with featuring the league leaders. Adam, a tough place to go up there on the range, coming back after a defeat last week in the league. A very good result for the league leaders.
Good bounce back by St. George Willawong in a very, very tough place to go in Clive Berghofer Stadium in probably not pleasant conditions. It would have been up on the range this afternoon, but Mitch Herman gained the winner there. And
it's actually fine and sunny up on the range, which is very surprising at this time of year. I know when I went up there, it was cold and rainy, but today it looked like a fine early winter's afternoon up on the range.
Well, that's I didn't actually see the highlights, so I just assumed that wherever it is down here, down at sea level, would have been
it was a place to be today. It seems
Toowoomba being the most pleasant place in southeast Queensland. That's that's a term that doesn't normally come up, and yes, we love Toowoomba,
you when you visit after that.
Yeah, we love the Garden City, but in all seriousness, a big bounce back win for St. George Willawong after a shock defeat to Southside Eagles last weekend.
Absolutely. Some important wins at home for Caboolture, Eastern Suburbs, and also the Brisbane Strikers here as well, over teams that are fighting for spots in the top four. Well, certainly in the case of East beating Broadbeach and Strikers being Logan, very important wins there, and a win for Caboolture that moves them up into the finals places as well. So three important wins at home there.
Caboolture, yeah, a bit of a surprise packet. They're actually going quite nicely under Paul Arson. But again, I think that might be the answer to that question, is having a coach like Paul Arson has probably given that club some stability in the FQPL men's after showing signs that, you know, where they're at. But I think they're starting to actually get that consistency about them. I know last season especially that they were very inconsistent. They put in a good performance and they put a not so good performance in. But I think Paul Arson gives them a bit of discipline in that. And they pretty much had that game not wrapped up, but they had that in control very, very early on. As for Brisbane Strikers, Matt Thurtell and Sam Cronin, 4 and 3 goals respectively for the week. That's two players that are probably their two of Brisbane Strikers aces that they have that are performing at the moment. And they're going on just nicely and just stalking St. George Willawong back in second spot. And also as well, East as well. The other team that was relegated from last season, I think the only team in the pyramid that actually got relegated last season. They're also staking their claim. Kai Flemington, 2 goals. He's having a great season for East at the moment.
He's certainly having a very good year for East's Kai Flemington. The other game which I would want to mention just very, very quickly, our first win in the league for the newly merged Ipswich FC over Mitchelton here. Then I think it could, if by 4-2, and I think it could be the start of something for Ipswich. Not that they're necessarily going to go and make a big charge up the table, but just a bit of confidence that maybe they can compete with teams in this competition?
I think it's important for them for the sake of that. As you said, I don't see them being a team that are going to challenge for finals football, but survival is very, very important. And a win over Mitchelton, I think that is definitely a big win for them, because that's one of the teams that they need to be beating if they are going to survive. Mitchelton at the moment, they are really in all sorts. And I think that them remaining in FQPL 1 beyond the season is starting to drift further and further away with every game. But yeah, Ipswich FC, as you said, their first official win now. After the ill-fated game against Capalabar was rescheduled, and which took away that win for them, but they are finally on the board. But also another team, that a renamed team and Moreton City as well, also getting a win over Southside Eagles at 3-1. And after Southside Eagles' form in recent weeks, that's actually probably a big win. But I also think that Southside Eagles, I think they're a different beast at home than they are away. And that beast away from home is very, very timid.
I would have to check, but I would imagine all their wins this season have been at Memorial Park. And that matchup between Ipswich and Capalabar, the one you referenced, the game which was ultimately taken off the record, that will be replayed in late June out there at Briggs Road. So that matchup has been scheduled. But we'll go through the table now in the FQPL1 men's competition. St George Billabong top of the table for yet another week. They're on 21 points, 1 point clear of the Brisbane Strikers on 20. Then it's back to Eastern Suburbs on 13, Caboolture also on 13. Then it's Broadbeach and Southside Eagles on 12, Thunder 10, Logan Lightning 9, Moreton City 5, Ipswich 4, Capalabar 3, and Mitchelton yet to get off the mark. So that table in FQPR1, Adam, there's two teams there who have kicked clear of that pack, and the rest of the pack from third down to eighth, you can really just throw a blanket over them. But the top two have just started to kick clear, and it was St George Willowong, when we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, who had kicked clear of everybody. But the Strikers have just grabbed onto their coattails, and they're moving clear as well.
Yeah, but they're two most consistent teams in the league now, and yeah, that's going to be a big game in, I think it's about a month's time, that it'll be the second time that Brisbane Strikers, actually, they haven't played each other this season. They play each other in round 11. Yeah, no, that's right. That's the final week of the season, because they've actually played in the Pro Series. That was the early game, which Brisbane Strikers absolutely belted them. But I think we could safely say that their league preparation as far as against the Pro Series, two different things. So I think that's going to be a defining game, that round 11 clash between St George Willowong and Brisbane Strikers.
Absolutely. Currently scheduled for St George's Park out there, I believe, in late May. So that'd be very, very interesting there. And as you said, much like Southside Eagles' home away form are two very, very different beasts. St George Willowong's form in the league and cups is also very, very different. They've been exceptional in the league, not so much in the cups. So we'll see if they can continue that in the league in a couple of weeks' time when
May 8th as well, St George's Park. That sounds like a great assignment for one James Coughlin.
I think an in-person commentary out there would be sensational. I know the St George Willowong faithful would be very happy to welcome him out there for that one. But we will move on to the only game played from round 4 of the FQPL1 women's competition, which was up on the range between Southwest Queensland Thunder and Robina City. A long drive for the Robina City side, but a very fruitful one with a 3-1 win there over Southwest Queensland Thunder. Adam, and they're a side who, they score a lot of goals, and this is an important win for them.
Yeah, Robina City, they've put it together as far as form-wise goes, and this is a good win against a Thunder team that, at home especially, are a very, very good side. So this is a win full of merit from Robina City. I think we probably need to start considering them probably one of the teams, at least, that probably will be fighting out for the finals places, because I think it's pretty all and sundry clear that there's really, I think, only one winner in this division this year. I think if they're chasing pack, I think there's a number of teams out there, and I think Robina City has shown they are one of them.
Yeah, that race for second behind Gold Coast Knights, which is what we all expect to happen, will be very, very interesting. I'm not going to go through the table this week because there's only one game played. Robina City, I will say, they have moved up into outright fourth place on 7 points. As for the rest of the round's matchups, Adam, all games have been, well, Capalabar, Logan, Ipswich Knights, Gold Coast Knights, North Lakes and Broadbeach, they're to be confirmed. Virginia will host Moreton City Excelsior on Tuesday night. So that's the second game from round five to be played then. So only one game played this weekend in round five of the FQPL1 Women's. We'll move on to FQPL2. We'll go through some of these scorelines here. Grange Thistle 3. Oh, this is round 7, I should say, of FQPL Men's 2. It's Grange Thistle 3, North Lakes United 0, Magic United 4, Tringa Rovers 2, North Star 1, South United 0, Maroochydore 6, Bayside United 1, Holland Park 3, Sanford Rangers 2, and the game which was postponed is between Ipswich Knights and Pine Hills FC. So wins for the top three here, top four teams actually, Adam, in this competition. Actually, include North Star in that. The top five teams all won, but Holland Park, with their late goal from Kyle Weiser, has put them back on top for another week.
Yeah, Holland Park look like that. They're certainly one team that are showing the way as far as in FQPL2. Maroochydore Swans as well, another bag full of goals for them. And
they're the entertainers in this division, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. They are consistently scoring goals as well. So I think that, we need to start taking them very, very seriously. North Star, a good win, a 1-0 win over South United as well. I think they're a team that I think they're under the radar at North Star. I think they've got a very, very talented lineup. A number of players have had experience in higher divisions. I think that they might be a bit of a sleeper. And Magic United, well, you know, my constant line with them, but a good win over Tauranga this weekend.
Yes, 25 goals in 7 games for Maroochydore Swans. As I said, they are certainly the entertainers. But the other end of the table, North Lakes United, we were talking about them earlier in the season when they won back-to-back games to start the season. But 5 straight losses now sees them just above the relegation zone. It's not, hasn't quite continued on for North Lakes, has it?
Yeah, no, trouble there for North Lakes. They've fallen in a bit of a heap. And, not sure what happens there, but look, Grange are a good team as well. Like, so they're a team that are pretty much they're almost part of the furniture in FQPL2. And a good win in that sort of that North side clash.
Absolutely. As I said, the top five teams in this division all won over the weekend. So these are the standings after round 7 of the FQPL2 competition. Holland Park at top of the table, they're on 19 points, 2 points clear of Grange Thistle. Then it's back to Magic United on 15 with a game in hand. Maroochydore in the top four on 13 points. Then it is North Star also on 13. Pine Hills 10. Sanford 7. South United 6. North Lakes 6. Tauranga 6. Bayside 3. And Ipswich on 1. So the top five teams winning this weekend and kicking clear. But it's going to come down to consistency in this competition, isn't it, Adam? And so far, historically in this competition, there's a lot of teams, as you said, being part of the furniture here for a while. Consistency has been the problem for all of them in terms of getting up to FQPL1. So we'll see if Holland Park can continue that consistency that they've shown to start the year, because if they can, they might be the team to return to FQPL1, where they obviously were before they dropped down to FQPL2 a few years ago.
Yeah, two seasons ago, this is their second season in FQPL2 for Holland Park. And they could probably, if they can keep their form, as you said, it's the consistency, and having that consistency and form, I think, is what is going to see the top two clubs go through. But it's certainly not in previous seasons where there's been some clear standouts. This is a very, very even competition. And like I said, a couple of teams that have been in FQPL2 for pretty much the whole of life, and Grange, Magic United, and North Star, and Tauranga. But I don't think Tauranga I don't think they're up to it at the moment. And Sanford's another one that could possibly also even factor in, that have been there since the very beginning. They've all got their chances.
They most certainly have interesting to see what happens in that competition. As for FQPL 2 Women's Round 4, here's the results from the weekend's action. Annerley FC 2, Marrickville Hawks 1, The Gap 5, Springfield United 0, Caboolture Sports FC 5, Stamford Rangers 0, Grahamstown 4, UQSC 0, North Brisbane 3, Pine Hills 0. Now, Adam, when I say this every week, you always go on and give me the whole weekend recap. What's the one game here that stands out to you as a result?
Caboolture over Stamford 5-0. Caboolture were probably the favourites going into this by virtue of the fact that they were challenging against the likes of North Lakes and Ipswich last season. And the fact that they're top of the league now means that they're probably the favourites. They've got a bit of company at the moment, but it's very, very early days in that. But they've shown at the moment 11 out of 11 points so far they've accumulated. And they for me, I think, are the ones at the moment that probably look like that they're in a position they could win the league.
Yep, that, you've gone with that one. You've gone for the one of the two undefeated teams. I'll go for the other one, which is Annerley beating Marrickville in what was the top of the table clash going in to the weekend. Annerley going away to Marrickville, which I don't think is too far between those two sides. Bit of a local derby of sorts there between Annerley and Marrickville. A very important win for Annerley over the previously unbeaten Marrickville there. So the table is currently that Caboolture and Annerley are locked together on 10 points at top of the table. Caboolture have the better goal difference, so they sit top. Annerley in second. Marrickville dropped down to third on 9. Grahamstown ran out the top 4 on 8. Down to Stamford 7. The Gap 6. North Brisbane 6. Springfield United 1. Pine Hills and UQ yet to get off the mark. And that is all the league action we have this week. Adam, although there's some interesting cup ties that will be played over the next week or so in the Queensland Cup. Where do you want to start, men or women's?
Let's go with the women to start off with, because it's the MPL teams join the fray, and I think there's some very, very interesting clashes in round 4 of the Women's Queensland Cup in Southeast Queensland.
Yeah, most certainly. So looking at some of the fixtures, we won't go through all of them, but you've got all MPL ties between Lions FC and Gold Coast United. You've got Lions FC versus Gold Coast United. Then you've got Souths United hosting Brisbane City. And then there's a very, very interesting clash between Gold Coast Knights and Eastern Suburbs, which I think, Adam, is probably the pick of the round. Also Mitchelton and QAS, that's the third all MPL tie. But that Gold Coast Knights versus East tie, that's certainly the most intriguing, isn't it?
Absolutely. We are going to get a very, very big view on where Gold Coast Knights are in the scheme of things. This is the supreme test against the reigning champions in East. Especially being at Carrara as well. It would not shock me. It would not shock me if Gold Coast Knights actually were to spring the upset. Although I do think that East's probably go slight favourites in that, because I think that East's depth, as far as the players they've got, I think might be an advantage. But again, it's a shame. It is a shame that this is round 4, especially as well. Once again, somehow, some way, FQ have managed to pull Lions and Gold Coast United out of the pot again in round 4. So they're two games. I think they're two defining games as well for this competition, because that's two big guns that are going to be gone from the pot. And look, you could even say that Souths, who are cup specialists, Souths and Brisbane City as well. That's three clubs there, right there, that potentially they will not be in the hat come round 5. And that will open up some opportunities for some other clubs.
It most certainly will. And that we will only focus on women's ones this week, because they start this weekend, ironically, with Southwest Queensland Thunder hosting Robina. So Robina can keep the instructions on how to get up to up to the Garden City in their GPS because I'll need them again next weekend. But the games do start on the weekend before wrapping up during.
And I bet you'll be completely different conditions as well last week. Enjoy the sunshine because I almost guarantee you it'll be cold next week, next Saturday afternoon.
Take the rain jacket, take the jumper and prepare for some cold weather up there on the range. But those games do start on the Saturday with that matchup on up in Toowoomba, and they conclude on the 1st of May with a whole bunch of matchups. So we might leave the Men's Queensland Cup matches to preview next week on the show because those matchups start midweek next week and end after that. So there's another week before they get underway. So we'll leave it there, Adam, and we'll finish off the show with your performer of the week this week.
My performer of the week, you go back to Underwood Park and Ivan Aussie's hat-trick in his maiden start for a Brisbane Roar Academy. Very, very well-taken goals. We're no stranger to his exploits last season. In fact, debut games in the NPL for Ivan Aussie have been very, very successful. He got a double in his starting debut for Lions last year. So certainly he must enjoy getting his first cap for New Carlton. Look, he keeps playing like this, he may have a future in another Brisbane Roar team, maybe next season.
We'll have to wait and see on that one. So you've gone for Ivan Aussie. He was the performer of the week. I could go for Kyla Hansen and give it to her for the hat-trick she got for East, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go back to a game which was played midweek, which we did not mention on the show, between the Gap FC and Newmarket FC. A 8-7 win for the Gap in extra time. And this is, Jordan Freeney got 4 goals in this game, but that's only one small part of the story. So in this game, it was a case where Newmarket led by 4-2 before late goals from Nick Klassen and Luke Greenslade Horton in the 90th minute got them back into the game. That's 4-4 after extra time. And then it's 7-7 going into the last couple of minutes where the game is, of course, decided, Adam, by an own goal. So the Gap go through with an 118th minute own goal, 8-7 in extra time. They go through to round 5 of the Queensland Cup and madness. And if we can get a few more results like that over the next couple of rounds, I'll be all making very, very interesting on our show. So that's my game of the week, if you like, this week.
Everyone say it with me. Hashtag magic of the cup.
Absolutely. That is the pure magic of the cup. Adam, thanks for joining me on the show this week.
Thank you and good night.
We're back to recap all the league and cup action next weekend on the show. We'll talk to you all again then.